Hello, everybody. This is Pastor, or I'm sorry, Bible teacher Mark Browning, coming to you today with another Zoom service. Today, we're going to run a generic program so we can have these in the hopper in case we're out doing some other things, because it's important for y'all to get this information. It's vitally important that people know the truth from the Bible as our world sinks deeper and deeper into depravity. So today, we're going to talk about the general overall scheme of salvation and how it all played out. So we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. We are created by a omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing God. We did not evolve. We didn't come from a gob of goo. Evolution is a complete and total lie. And anybody that teaches it ought to be ashamed of themselves, because if evolution was real, then there'd still be things in its evolutionary process. Where's the horse man and the horse ape and the ape man or the fish horse, or, you know, it's just ridiculous. God made everything after its own kind. Men make men. Cows make cows, dog makes dogs, daisies make daisies, tulips makes tulips. And so in the beginning, God created everything. And according to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 20, he tells you this. He says in Romans 1, chapter 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, you can't go outside and look at a sunset or a sunrise, or look at the sky with all the stars in it and the moon, or look at the ocean, or look at the trees and the birds and see how everything's intelligently designed, how animals know how to respond and how to behave and how to act, because they were made by an intelligent creator, the omnipotent God of the universe. And the Bible says, because of that, we don't have any excuse. Everybody in their heart knows there's a God. Everybody does. And the worst thing that ever came into our public school system was this false doctrine of evolution that made everybody think that certain people were evolved beyond other people. And we're all created equal. We're all made in the image and likeness of God. Every race of man was made from one blood, and were fearfully and wonderfully made. And so in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's all over the Bible. The book of Acts says, you, Lord, you are God who did make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. And so he spends 6 days creating everything for man. And then I want you to skip down to verse 26. He's made everything for man. He's made the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the animals, the plants. And then in verse 26, he says, then God said, let us make man in our image. Wait a minute. Well, let us. Yes, God is three people or three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now you'll notice he doesn't say that about any of the rest of his creation. We are his most prized possession. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of God. And that's the reason why the devil can't stand us. The book of James tells you that the reason why he can't stand us is because we are made in the similitude of God, and he can't do anything against God. So he's come after the creation that God values the most, and he's come after humanity. And it's time for theologians to start telling people the stuff that's in the Bible instead of playing religious theological games and talking about all kinds of stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. I'm telling you things that'll change your life. I'm telling you things that'll give you an explanation for why the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and there's a way out of it. There's a way out from the world system. There's a way to be delivered from it, but it's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God, in verse 28, it says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing that moves on the earth. The writer of Hebrews tells us exactly what went on here. Verse 5 in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. So when God turned the control of the world over to Adam, he turned it completely over to Adam. Adam became the God of this world, and it was Adam's to subdue. It was Adam's to have dominion over. It was Adam's to be fruitful and multiply in. And in Genesis chapter 3, unfortunately, a snake comes in the garden. The snake is the devil. He talks Adam and Eve out of this authority, out of this dominion, and he becomes the God of this world. He takes over the dominion that God gave to Adam. The devil takes it back over. He becomes the God of this world. Murder enters the world. Sickness enters the world. Sorrow enters the world. Death enters the world. Lust enters the world. Jealousy enters the world. It's just amazing to me that some old fella that's a CPA and a financial advisor in Sierra Vista has to come on the radio and tell people these things. We're supposed to have theologians teaching this information to people so we can get them set free. But all they want to talk about is that God's got you going through something so he can teach you a lesson. That's the stupidest thing that ever come down the pike. And anybody that buys into it don't know anything about God. It's the devil that's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have that life abundantly. God's not using the devil. God's defeated the devil through the Lord Jesus Christ. So man turns over control of the world system to the devil. God's on the outside looking in. He has to get back into the earth. He prophesies in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15. He prophesies in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 3 that he would put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He's already prophesying the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. So God's already got a plan in motion. He's already planned this, the Bible tells us, before the foundation of the world, that Jesus was going to be a lamb slain before the foundation of the world because he knew that man having the opportunity to have a free will could make the wrong choice, and God's never caught off guard. So he has to spend 4,000 years getting Jesus into the earth. The first thing he does is he starts a covenant with a man named Abraham. And from a man named Abraham comes the Jewish nation. And through Abraham finally becomes, there's a man raised up that's named King David, and it's prophesied that the seed of the woman would come through the lineage of King David. And finally, 4,000 years later, in the book of Luke, there is a baby born in a manger. Think about that. The baby that's born in the manger is the creator of the universe. The baby that's born in the manger is the creator of the universe. See, this is what we ought to be talking about. See, this is the kind of stuff we ought to be talking about and telling people about. This is what people need to understand and know. They don't want to hear about all this kind of stuff that God gave you cancer or killed your kid or wants you to be beat by your husband because he wants you to learn something. That's not what people want to hear about or need to know about. They need to know how to get out from under the curse of the rotten, stinking devil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I'm fed up with it, and I'm tired of the fact that there's not any other people around here that's talking this stuff. Get out there and be bold. Learn the Bible. Learn what the plan of redemption is all about. So 4,000 years later, Jesus Christ is born in a manger. The angels proclaim to the shepherds, Christ the Lord, the Savior is born, and they go see him. Now, reminding you again that it said in Genesis 1:26 that they said, let us make man in our image. Who was the us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we go to John chapter 1. These are foundational, fundamental things that everybody ought to know about and at least have the opportunity to know about. And that's why I come on the radio. I want everybody to at least know about this. You ought to have a right to know about this instead of hearing about some silly Christian religion that people's been brought up under. In John chapter 1, it tells you this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And remember, it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John 1 is a parallel verse to Genesis 1, and it's telling you that the us in Genesis 1:26, the us, God the Word was the us, God the Word was God, and everything was made through God the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's the person that's lying in the manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. That's the seed of the woman that's come to crush Satan. That's the seed of the woman that's come to destroy the works of the devil. That's the seed of the woman that's come to get us out from under the control and dominion of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Now, that's a fact. That's just absolute biblical fact. And so later on in John chapter 1, John the Baptist sees him. And John the Baptist says this about him. He sees him in John chapter 1. Hang on. And he says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here's the deal. Mankind was hopelessly, helplessly, eternally lost through the law of sin and death. And so the only way they could be saved was if Jesus Christ, if God himself became flesh, dwelt among us, and paid the ultimate sacrifice and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, because his blood was the only blood that could cleanse us from all sin, past, present, and future, and for anybody who's ever born, because it's the blood of the Creator himself. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, for it is not, verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. See, up through the old covenant, God would have them sacrifice bulls and goats and lambs just to cover their sins. It was a type and shadow of what was going to come out in reality when the Lamb of God, the second person of the Godhead, was going to be made flesh and dwell among us. And then he was going to go to the cross and pay the ultimate sacrifice and pay for the sins of all humanity. Only Jesus could do it. Only Jesus. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. The Father did not let the cup pass because he couldn't let the cup pass, because Jesus was the only person that could save us all. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And that's why the world hates Jesus. And that's why the world hates people that follow Jesus, because Jesus stands for righteousness and godliness and truth. And Jesus stands for morality and decency and temperance and self-control and love and joy and peace. And the world hates those things. The world's controlled and dominated by the rotten devil, and they like to steal, kill, destroy, lie, manipulate, gossip, lust. Those are the things that's going on in the world. And Jesus wants to rescue us from that. That's all there is to it. Wake up. Get out from under religious dogma that's just got you singing kumbaya, and start understanding that there's a war going on. And Jesus won the victory. Jesus beat the devil. He whipped him. He has the keys of hell and death. But you have to live through him. You can't live the way you want to live. You got to live through him. And I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Everybody see that? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, Jesus is talking. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. In other words, I am going to pay the ultimate sacrifice. Listen, let me skip down so you'll see. But this man, verse 12, but this man, I read Hebrews yesterday, the whole book yesterday. It's an easy read, 13 chapters. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering, listen to this, for by one offering, the offering of Jesus, not our offering, not our good works, not our religion, not our dogmas, not our creeds, not our anything of us, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hallelujah. And that's why it says in verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what's happened. That comes to every person that acknowledges Jesus Christ and accepts the sacrifice that he made for us. That's what happens to you. You get to receive an invitation into the kingdom of God. You become a son and a daughter of God. God himself comes and lives in you. He recreates your spirit and makes your spirit in the image of his son. And you now have love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and self-control. And against such, there is no law. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So somebody said, how do I gain access to this? You know, what do I do? Do I have to go to church every Sunday? Do I have to pay my tithes? You know, do I have to get baptized in water? Do I got to get confirmed when I'm 12? No, John chapter 1, verse 12 tells you exactly how to get it. John chapter 1, same chapter that told you that the creator of the universe became the redeemer. The creator of the universe became the redeemer. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the privilege or the authority to become children of God to those who believe in his name. You simply have to believe the gospel story. That's what you have to do. You have to believe the gospel story. It's not hard, but it requires you to believe the gospel story. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 15:1 is succinctly tells you exactly what the gospel story is. Listen to it. Moreover, brethren, you got to believe the gospel story and accept it into your life. Accept the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he rose from the dead for your justification, and that whoever calls on his name, whoever receives him, will be given the right to become a child of God. You'll leave the kingdom of darkness. You'll be translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, by hearing the gospel and believing the gospel. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Very important. He fulfilled scripture. Matthew over and over in his gospel says that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet. God fulfills what he says. God does what he says. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel message. You got to believe that. Romans 10:9-10 says, let's turn there. Let's look at that. This is going to be one of these that we can play regularly and people can get acquainted with the gospel. Some of y'all are tuned in to 92.3 thinking you were going to listen to Carrie Underwood and Kelly Clarkson, and I can't think of any other ones, Blake Shelton, and who else? Tim McCraw, but you're listening to a preacher tell you about the gospel message, and that's way better than anything they're telling you. They're talking about cheating hearts and pickup trucks and dogs and all that kind of stuff. Listen to this, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you, it's just believe in the gospel, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, why do I have to confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus? Because the Lord Jesus is God. God was manifested in the flesh. God dwelt among us. God was born in a manger. God went to the cross. God had the stripes put on his back. God had the nails put in his hands and in his feet. God had the crown of thorns placed down on his skull. God was crucified. God was stripped naked. God was laid bare before the whole world because his blood was spilled from the top of his head to the soles of his feet for the redemption of all of us. That's why you got to confess him as Lord. That's why the world hates him. They hate him. They hate him, and they hate those of us that follow him, because Christianity puts controls on our lives and puts boundaries on our lives and puts limits on our lives. And we lead moral and decent lives to honor God, because we're not supposed to be able to just do whatever we want to do, when we want to do it, where we want to do it, and why we want to do it. Can I get an amen? I hope some preachers are listening and you're on your way to church. You ain't going to talk about all that stuff about God's doing these things to you to teach you something. Tell them that the devil's doing these things to them and God did something to help them get out from under it. In Jesus' name, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You confess the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then verse 13 says it, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What happens when you do that? Let me show you what happens when you do that. Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. What happens when you do this? Well, let's read verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the Lord Jesus Christ? The second person of the Godhead, the God that created all of us, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age. Why'd he do that? Why'd he do that? That he might deliver us from this present evil age. Why'd he do that? According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It was the will of God. Oh, listen to me. Please listen to me. If you think you're called to preach and you think you're called to teach and you think you're called to minister, listen to me. It was the will of God that Jesus Christ would give himself for our sins so that we could be delivered from this present evil age. God doesn't want us controlled and dominated and whipped by this evil age. He wants us delivered from the present evil age. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Why don't we tell that to people? Colossians chapter 1. Let me get over there. Colossians chapter 1. Watch this now. You got your shouting clothes on? Give it verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's what he did. He qualified us through the blood of Jesus, through accepting Jesus. We're qualified. We're forgiven. We're righteous. We're redeemed. Jesus said that John the Baptist was the greatest man that ever lived up to that time. And he said the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than him, because we have God living on the inside of us. And we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, it's not going to happen. He has. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's why he did it. That's why he came. He came to redeem us and to get us back. Let me go over to Book of Revelation. I'm gonna go over there. That's where he is in his glorified state. And let's read these verses. This is some beautiful stuff here. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 1. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. Listen to this. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. See, whose blood? His blood, only his blood. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. That's why no one comes to the Father except by him. It's only his blood that can redeem us and purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and cause us not to be sinners anymore, but to be saints. Listen to this. Who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
What about that, guys? What about that? That's what we need to be talking on the radio and the TV about. That's what we need to be telling people. He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Through his blood, through his redemption, he's made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Listen, I'm going to read verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. See, now why? Think about what I've been telling you. Why are all the tribes of the earth going to mourn because of him? Because they know they've been living lies. They've been doing the wrong thing. They've had sordid sexual behavior and stealing money and crooked and dishonesty. And they know they're going to be held accountable for it. Nobody's going to get away with anything. Jesus said there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Nobody's going to get away with it. No sinner's going to get away with it. If you're living in luxury now and you've robbed and stolen your way to power, you're not going to get away with it. That's why you're going to mourn when you see him, because he's going to hold you accountable for not accepting his blood, his sacrifice, because he's the redeemer of all humanity. And let me tell you the problem with the church, what our problem is, and it's also my problem. We're entrenched in this stinking, rotten, filthy sewer world we live in. We're entrenched in it. We know about all the movies. We know about all the music. We know about all the TV shows. We know about all the sporting events. We know about everything except anything about this stuff I've been talking about in the Bible. That's why we're not kicking the devil in the teeth, because we're joined up more with him than we are God. And I'm saying that about myself, and I'm saying it to most everybody else that's listening on the radio, because I know the most of you, and I'm around you just like you're around me. Can I get an amen? Guarantee you, we know everything there is to know about the latest movie that's going to come out about some doubt-peddling, devil-worshipping thing, but we can't tell you a verse of scripture in the book of Hebrews that I've been reading to you today. Amen. It's our own fault. It's our own fault. The reason why we haven't had more of an impact on the world is because the church got connected to the world more than they got connected to God. And that's a fact. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to do my part. I'm trying to do my little part, the littlest part I can, because I've been around this stuff for a long time, and there's just people that just don't put out anything. They don't tell people nothing. You go listen to them, you can't tell nothing they're talking about. They don't relate it to anything that they can, that people can relate it to. I bring it to you and give it to you and show it to you and present it to you so that you may get mad about it, but it's factual, and I give you scripture verses. I want people to come out from under the control of the devil. I want to come out under the control of the devil, and I want to do my part by telling people the good news. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. The harvest is plentiful, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. So if you've been listening today and you've heard this stuff and you've never, ever acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we want you to do it today. Do it right now before it's too late. Everybody always thinks we're living in the end times, but these have got to be close to the end times, as rotten and as corrupt as the world's getting. And so turn your heart back to the living God. Understand that God created you. You did not evolve. First of all, just acknowledge him as the creator. Say, God, you created me. God, you created me. Say that. God, you created me. Say it again. God, you created me. And you came, my creator came to the earth to redeem me. His name was Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, if I'll put my faith in him, that I can leave the evil of this present world and be connected to the kingdom of the Son of your love. So I want to, as an act of my will, I want to acknowledge Jesus Christ into my life right now. So say this prayer with me. Say, dear God, my creator,
I believe
that
Jesus Christ,
my creator,
came into the earth,
died on a cross,
shed his blood
for the remission
of my sins,
and that he was buried, and on the third day,
he rose again
for my salvation,
so I could be a child of God.
I confess Jesus Christ
as Lord
and Savior
in my life.
In Jesus' name. If you did that, you just left the devil's kingdom. You're now a member of the family of God. You need to get your hands on a Bible. You need to go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. That would be where I'm at. That's Life in Christ Ministries at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We have a Bible lesson. And then you can go to our website, lifeinchristchurch.net, and download all my sermons. And download those sermons where somebody's telling you about this stuff in a logical fashion that makes, then backs it up with scripture and doesn't talk about all that religious hocus pocus that most people's talking about. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we'd love to hear from you. I hardly ever hear from anybody. I don't know if anybody's listening, but I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep putting the information out there because I believe that everybody deserves the opportunity to hear it. Somebody told it to me and I appreciate it. And I want to tell it to others. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is Lord. I've become a Christian. What do I need to do? Let me just go through these steps with you. First thing you got to do is you've got to get your hands on a Bible and begin to read it. Now, I recommend that you read the more modern translations. I recommend the New King James Version of the Bible because it's translated. They try to translate it in line with the old King James, but they take all that Elizabethan English out. You need to get your hands on the Bible. If you have no recollection of scripture or you've never read the Bible, then I want you to read the Gospel of John at least twice. Read through it twice. Read the Gospel of John twice. And then I want you to get over to the book of Romans and read from Romans to Jude until you get those truths put into your heart and mind, because then you'll get epistolated. You'll become a New Testament taught Christian. You won't be an Old Covenant taught Christian where the minister's telling you God's out to kill you, that he wants your tomatoes to go rotten and none of your crops to work, your kids to be miserable and all that kind of nonsense. He wants the blessing of Abraham to come on you because Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Then you need to hang around with Bible-believing, Bible-loving Christians. Evil companionships, the Bible says, corrupts good morals. You don't want to keep hanging around with dirtbags. You don't want to keep hanging around with people that are bringing you down to their level and they're doing the things the devil does. Lying, stealing, cheating. You know, if you're a married man, you want to hang around with people that want to stay faithful to their wives. You know, and if you've got children, you want to hang around with people that want to see their children succeed. You know, it's important that you hang around with the right folk. And then you want to get your hands on a good Bible truth, Bible lessons. And so, again, I'll give you my website, lifeinchristchurch.net. But there's also a minister in Colorado Springs, Colorado, that I am completely on board with. And I want to hook you up with him. His name is Andrew Womack. And you can get on his website, awmi.net. And you can go on his website and you can download every one of his Bible lessons free of charge. Now, normally I don't want people to get something for free, but we are major contributors to his ministry. And so if you get something free off his website, we've made up for it for you. We've done that for you. We've graced you with that by our giving to his ministry. Because as long as I'm in charge of Life in Christ Church, most of our money is going to go up to Andrew Womack's ministry, because he's training people about the new covenant, the new birth, who you are in Christ. He's not talking about all that hocus pocus and all that false sovereignty of God nonsense that, you know, God's everything that happened, God controlled it, God did it, God caused it, God wanted it to happen. That's stupid. That is stupid. It leaves the rotten, stinking devil free to go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the Bible says you're supposed to put your shield of faith up whereby you can quench all of his fiery darts. So you need to get a hold of that ministry and get some of those teachings, and then start renewing your mind to this truth. You've spent your whole life with a mind renewed on the world. You got to spend the next part of your life renewed on the things of God. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith and love and joy and peace. The devil's tried to steal mine, but he can't have it. He can't have my love. He can't have my joy, and he can't have my peace, because it's part of my new nature. It's part of who I am in Christ. And the most important thing we can all learn is who we are in Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And if you need help, you know, you can go to my website and contact us, and we'll talk to you. I've got a guy that's with me now, and he ministers to people one-on-one. He'd minister with you anytime you'd want some help, because he's that kind of a guy. I've got a full-time job, or something like a full-time job, so I can't do as much of that. But I've got a fellow on site now by the name of Al Garza, who loves God, who will pray with you, who will minister with you, who will be there for you if you need some personal attention. But those are the three things I recommend. Regular Bible study. Oh, and then praying to God on a regular basis with your Bible. Pray to God. Seek his face. Ask him things that you need to find out about your life and about your activities. And it's an area that I'm very weak in. I don't do enough praying. I like reading the Bible. I read the Bible, but I have a hard time just praying to God. And a lot of that has to do with the Old Testament, the religious concept of guilt. We all think that God's somehow mad at us because we're not perfect, but he's not mad at us. He's not mad at us. He loves us because he sees us through the eyes of Jesus. He sees us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made in the image of his son. We're created after his image. There is no condemnation. If we get past that, let me read this verse of scripture to you. If we can get past that, you can get over here to Hebrews. Let me leave you with this. Hebrews 4:14. This is what I'm going to leave y'all with today. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Think about that, man. Just think about that. Come on. Verse 16. Here it is, everybody. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, that's my prayer for all of us, that we would be set free from condemnation and guilt, and be able to enter into the most holy place because of the blood of Jesus, and get what we need from you, or understand what we've already gotten from you, and live out the love, the joy, the peace, the blessing that's already in us because you gave it to us through your son, Jesus Christ. It's in his holy name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.